Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house again tonight. Good to see each and every one that's come this way. And just ask for your attention for a few moments of time that we might try to look through God's Word and hope and pray that the Lord will give us the words that we need tonight for this service, and that He would meet with us in His Spirit and guide and direct it. I'm going to take a reading lesson tonight out of the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Very familiar reading that we have here. Luke chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that hath fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." I'm going to stop my reading with this portion right here. In this story here, we see what we've read. We find a young man that left home, that went out and no doubt did a lot of sinful things and found himself without anything in the world, nobody to turn to. This young man got to the very end of himself, basically, I guess you would say, and he went back home to his father. And he just asked his father to take him back in. And there's an important point to this, and I guess if I had a thought tonight out of what I'm going to be trying to say, it would have to do with guilt. This young man had been brought up probably in a good home, been given good things in his life as he was brought up, and he left and he did contrary to his raising, I guess would be the best way to put it. He went against what he knew was right, and he went out into the world and he basically come to the understanding that he needed help, that he had sinned, that he was guilty to God and to his raising, to his Father. He was guilty, and he knew this. And it took, a humbling aspect of to bring him to the point of understanding that he could go back home to his Father. You know, he had to be humbled down. I can remember myself when I was 16 years old. I thought that I did not want to stay at home. You know, as soon as I graduated, with 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I moved. I left home. I didn't want to stay at home, work on that farm. I didn't want to raise that tobacco and cut that tobacco, haul that hay. I just didn't want to do that stuff. And I determined within myself what I was going to do. I was just going, as soon as I could, I was leaving. And 2 weeks after I graduated high school, that's what I did. 6 months later, I was back home. Couldn't make it on my own. I come to understand that I couldn't do it by myself. I needed a little help. And it was a humbling experience for me as a young man to be able to do that. And I believe it was also a humbling experience for him here tonight. And as we read about this and we think about this, but I think about guilt and the part that it plays when as a sinner, you come to realize and to know and to understand that you're separated from God. See, it takes the hearing of the gospel. It takes the understanding of about Jesus and what he did, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. It's important that people hear these things and that they understand that Jesus died for them. And there's another aspect, I guess you might say, that we call conviction. And I believe basically conviction comes on us when we realize that we're guilty. When we realize within ourselves that we are guilty before God, there's this thing that comes upon us that can just make us miserable, that can bring us down and give us sleepless nights, and it can just really work on us when we come to know and understand that we're guilty before God. And we call this thing conviction. Conviction is a, I thank God for it. That's all I got to say. I thank God for it because, see, it was conviction that come upon me when I was a boy that allowed me to know and understand that I was separated from God, that I was a sinner. As I look at some things here tonight, I pray that the Lord will help us. We can look back over in the very beginning and in the Garden of Eden, and we can find where Adam and Eve was. They was within fellowship with God, and they partook of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to take. And all of a sudden, there was something happened to them. What happened to them? They became guilty before God. They transgressed God's law. They broke his law. God gave them one law, that they were not to partake of this fruit of this tree. And they both ate. And from the moment that they ate, the Bible says here that their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, and it says the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. They hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves? Because they knew they were guilty. They knew they were guilty. And this guilt brought on a feeling that was a separation from God. See, God looks down and he looks and he is a God that cannot look upon sin. And so if he cannot look upon sin, then there's a separation there. There's a point in time, and we call it a time of accountability, when, and there's not an age that's put with this. But there's a point in time when every man, woman, boy, and girl that hears the gospel message and has the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God to work upon them, to open their eyes and allow them to know that they are separated from God, there comes that point in time that it happens, I believe, to everybody. I believe it happens to everybody in the world. Now, do I believe that everybody in the world has heard the gospel? No. Do I believe that everybody in the world has heard the truth? No, I don't. But I mean, that was given in the Great Commission, that we were supposed to go out and do these things, that we were supposed to teach all nations and tell them about the gospel of Jesus. And I believe when it's time for the Lord to come back, that He'll be that message will have gone out. You think about with the media today that we have. You think about the internet that we have, the system where people could tune into our tapes that we make here, to our sermons in China, India, anywhere in the world. Say, friend, how long is it going to take for the gospel message to get all the way around the world? It's on the move. It's on the move as we speak tonight. Time is growing shorter as we speak tonight. We just don't know how long that'll be. There's a point that comes in this, and we think about Adam and Eve and what happened to them. They heard God's voice and they hid themselves. The Lord called, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Adam knew what he had done. He knew that he had transgressed God's law. God gave His commandments to the people of Israel to follow, to do. And we go all the way through, and we can go into the New Testament, and we can see how the Apostle Paul, speaking over in the third chapter of the book of Romans, he speaks about some things of concerning the law that was given to man. He said in this third chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God." See, God give His word and His law that all the world may become guilty. At that transgression in that garden where Adam sinned and all of mankind fell, everyone that has ever been born into this world has become guilty before God. That's the reason that we say that there is a point in time where there is everybody in this world comes accountable to God. They become accountable. There's a lot of religions that we hear about in this world, and there's a problem that I have with their religions is because they have left out the guilt out of the gospel. They have left the Holy Spirit of God out of the gospel. They have left the work of the Holy Spirit of God. They left the convicting part out. They left the guilty part out. When you get to thinking about the ways of salvation today that you hear about, anytime that somebody tells me that their testimony and they neglect to say something about that was a sinner, they felt bad, or they felt they was brought down low, or they, that feeling that comes along with being a sinner. Being a sinner that's been I believe that there's a guilt involved in salvation. There needs to be guilt. We're guilty. The Bible tells us plainly that we're guilty before God. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. That our sins are as filthy rags before God. That we are nothing, literally, in the eyes of God. In the world that we live in today, they do not present that. They do not represent that as a part of their gospel. They just say, come and accept Jesus. I tell you tonight, Jesus accepts us. Amen. He accepts us through repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Just like this young man that was come to the end of himself, and he found himself going back to his father. He didn't have nothing. He had nowhere to go. He had no place to turn but to turn back to the Father. You know, when I was praying and seeking God, he said, I come to the very end. I didn't have nowhere else to go. I had nowhere else to turn. I knew I was guilty before God. I knew that I was a sinner. And then if I was ever going to be saved, that God was the one that was going to have to do it. I come to the end of myself because I offered up every plea bargain and everything that I could do to get saved. I was guilty. I was guilty and I knew it. And that guilt, that separation from God, that thought or that understanding of eternity in a devil's hell, all these things played a part on me as a 8 or 9 year old boy. Now, you think the God that I serve is not awesome that to reach down and make me understand? See, all you need to know tonight that you're a sinner. And you need to look to Jesus to be saved. Amen. All that stuff in the middle, He'll take care of. He does the part where He makes you feel guilty. He does the convicting. He does the drawing. He's the one that brings you to Him. He just brings you right on in. He'll show you what you are and that what you need. I'm thankful for a gospel tonight that there's nothing we can do apart from God. You know, if there was something special about us here tonight, that man that I was up here praying on the altar with last night, I looked him right in the eyes and I told him plainly, if I could save you myself, I'd do it. If I could give you anything that's going to be a help to you, I would do it. I said, but there ain't nothing in me. There's not nothing in any man. There's nothing in any of these people here that gather in this building that's going to get you into heaven. I said, it's between you and God.
Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin, the understanding. See, you got to know it up here. You got to know. And I think most everybody does. I know I knew it before I ever tried to move. I held on to the white knuckle treatment on the back of the bench or on that bench that I was sitting on when I was at church. I knew I was lost. And I didn't want to turn loose of that thing for nothing in the world. I didn't want to give up my pride. I was just like this man. I didn't want to humble myself back down and go to the Father. I just didn't want to do it. I held on until there was nothing else I could do but to give in. I held on. Lord, help me turn loose. So,
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested by being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Now therefore there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. There's none of us. See, the only way that anybody is ever going to get to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus. That's it. There's not a shortcut. There's not a simpler method. There's not a... It don't make any difference if you got money, if you ain't. There are so many examples that we have in the Bible that teaches about how the Lord deals with people. When Jesus was hanging on the cross there, when he was hanging on the cross at Calvary, there was two men, one on each side of him, and they were thieves. They were people that had broke the law. They were criminals. One of them said here, and one of the malefactors, which means criminals, which were hang-railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man that was hanging on that cross, he understood that he was justly hanging there. That he deserved everything that he was getting. He was a criminal. You know? Said a friend, if you're here tonight and you die in your sins and you go to a devil's hell, you deserve everything that you get. You need to understand that you are getting just exactly what you deserve because you've been given a time and an opportunity to seek God. I believe with all my heart tonight that he has made you conscious of your guilt, that you're separated from God. I believe with all my heart that he convicts and draws those because he would have all to come to repentance and be saved. That's his word. And God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. So if it says that, I can say in faith tonight that he deals with you the same way he dealt with me and every other person that's been saved. It's just, how are you going to react tonight? How are you going to react to this God that is telling you that you're a sinner? How are you going to react? Are you going to turn him away? Are you going to be like this one man that did not believe? Or are you going to be like the other man that knew that he was guilty? That he was guilty and he was there for, he deserved everything he got. What was it Jesus said? We indeed justly, for we receive our due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he was speaking of Jesus. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man had faith right there on the cross. There wasn't no works that he could have done. There wasn't anything. He didn't join no church. He didn't get baptized. He didn't shake no preacher's hand. His hand was nailed to the wood. He humbled his heart. He humbled his heart before the Son of God right there. Ain't no doubt when he took his last breath. His soul was sent into heaven. Not a doubt in my mind. The Bible tells us all these things so very clearly, and it's important tonight, if you're here and lost, that you heed and understand that when God deals with you, when you feel something inside of you that's not right, it's guilt. It's the Lord convicting you because you're a sinner. If you've got a salvation here tonight that is
that there was no guilt, that there was no conviction, that there was nothing, no part that was ever played in that. You think about that. Think about that.
Lord convicts. That's His way. That's His way. He convicts and He allows us to know and understand. He speaks to us. The Bible says that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There is a over in the 6th chapter of the book of John, in the 44th verse, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. There's a drawing that comes into play. See, this is a God work here. It's not a man work. It's not a church work. It's a God work when somebody gets their soul saved. If man draws you, you need to think about it. Because if God knows you, if He draws you, there's going to be something in there that convicted you. There's going to be something in there that allowed you to know that you was a sinner. And there was repentance and faith involved in your salvation. That you were brought down. Just like this man. You come to the end of yourself where you had to just, you knew there was nothing else to do. You had to turn back to the Father. You had no other choice but to turn to the Father. Tonight, if you're here lost and don't know the Lord, you have no other choice but to turn to the Father tonight. Turn to Him that He might save your soul. Don't be like that one criminal that was hanging there on the other side, expecting something different. Be like the one that humbled his heart, that knew that he was a sinner, and responded to God in the right way, with the right heart, and the Lord took him up to paradise with him. Brother Burke, when you have a song, I want to give you this opportunity tonight. I want to give you opportunity. Don't want anybody's heart here tonight. But I want you to think about the things that's been on my heart today, and as we've said tonight, and I want you to consider where you stand before God. While you've been given time and opportunity to seek the Lord, I pray that you would do that. Now's the day. Today is the day we serve God in the present. I keep going over that. I preached it on Sunday, and it's stuck with me. We serve God in the present. You can't plan on being saved tomorrow. And you never did get saved yesterday. You got to be saved today. You got to seek God today. Take the time. Take the opportunity. Brother Burke.
So I'll stay and turn to page number 97. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Yeah.
Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I pray tonight that consider your soul's condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart.
Brother Armour, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul, what He's done for me. And I want to, if there's anybody here that's lost, you explained it very well. I mean, it's just as simple as what the preacher said. But it's not easy to let go of your pride. And that stopped me for a long time. But that's what you've got to do. You're hearing lost. You've got to let go of that pride.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate this. Something on someone else's heart. If not, be time to dismiss. Appreciate this. You know, I was just thinking this one, Brother Siri, talk about pride, you know. Bowing down and praying and tears, and, you know, there's a lot of things that I guess there's none of that that is a requirement. Generally, you'll see it. But there's none of it that's a requirement, but it's hard for people to do. It's hard for people to bow. It's hard for people to call on the Lord, which it generally brings tears, and it's a humbling thing in itself to do that. But, you know, if what I've said tonight has bothered you, you know, you can go to your home tonight and in the quiet of your own room, and you can call out to God with all your heart, and He can save your soul. See, that's the God we serve.
And if anything that I've said here tonight has bothered you, I would advise you to do just that. Go home tonight and find you a quiet place, a secret place where you and God can talk. And just talk to Him and ask Him to save your soul. That's how it works. There was a whole church full of people when the night when the Lord saved my soul. But I didn't know that there was a single person in here, in the building. Because it was just me and the Lord right there. I got out of the business. I got to the point where it didn't make any difference what was going on around me, who was, what song they were singing, anything that was going on. It didn't make any difference. I wanted the Lord to save my soul. And He did. when it becomes that important to a sinner, that's when you start getting yourself right for the Lord to save your soul. Something on someone else's heart.
Can you have me on the prayer tonight?
Okay. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. We can close this service with an altar prayer. We've had several of them this week, and I think they're fitting every time. Fitting every time. Is anything else on anyone's heart tonight?
Brother Ray, I don't know if I can express this the way I felt it as you were preaching, but when you were talking about Adam and Eve in the garden, and I turned over there just as you mentioned that you were going to go there, and what caught my attention was, the tree was in the midst of the garden. And I began to think about that just a little bit. And I saw something that I hadn't ever seen before. There wasn't a fence around that tree. There wasn't anything that separated Adam and Eve from that tree. God didn't put a hedge around them. The only thing that separated them from that tree was their own will. And I got thinking about my salvation. I was thinking about that this morning when we had our devotional church. And I realized that when I was lost, and I shared this with all of you not too long ago, right here, that I felt like I was separated from God. I was on the outside of my house looking in, and there was my family and the Lord, but I couldn't get in. I couldn't say thank you, Lord, for all that. God didn't put that barrier there. He didn't put that veil. He didn't put anything there that separated me from Him. I had. And when I was willing to, to just lay down everything I had, including what separated me from God, then I was free to approach Him. The picture isn't perfect, but there really isn't anything separating us from God except what we place between ourselves and Him.
That's right.
So if there is a lost person here tonight, it's not God that's at fault here. It's you. There's something about you, something that you're holding on to that's allowing you to remain in that lost condition. And it's not a fun place to be. I know. I remember how I felt.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was lonesome. But God took that away. And I'm so glad to be a child of God tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Yeah, it is a miserable old feeling. But I thank the Lord for it. That feeling is what let me know I was lost.
Right.
See, a salvation without feeling is not salvation.
That's right.
Conviction without feeling is not conviction. There's a feeling involved. There's something involved in there that's bigger than all of us, and it comes from God. Anything short of that is short of salvation. Anything else on anyone's heart?
Brother, I'd like to say I appreciate you. Appreciate your message.
Yeah.
Things you said in 1990. I was saved at that altar in 1990. 33 years old.
Amen. Appreciate this good talk. Something on someone else's heart. Yes, tonight. It's been requested that we meet here in the altar and have an altar prayer, close service out tonight. So, all can and will, let's gather here in the altar. Let's pray. Lord, just maybe something that was said or done tonight will have an effect on somebody. Pray for tomorrow night. The Lord allows this service to go on, time to go on. Pray for the service tomorrow night. If you know anybody's lost, bring them back with you.
All of you that are